Welcome to the Apostolic Teachings of Eben Adeoton. Dr. Virus, as fondly known, is called, trained, and a faithful tour guide for the next generation. He has the mandate to violently influence and radicalize you through scriptures. This message is powered by TSF Church Mowe. TSF Church Mowe is one of the parishes of the Shepherd's Flock International Church nationwide. Locate us via Google Maps at TSF Church Mowe or visit our website www.mowe.tsfchurch.com. Remain thoroughly blessed by the Lord. Amen.
Maliha salai geta prapa pasto stole gere prapa pili gere geta prapa kistole gere prapa sindob la kata la ga prapa kasata pli posto liraga prama liga prapa poson to blalaga prama lika salaga promo kostole gere pli poson tali gete bale kista lika prapa paso to prada ga pli kostole gere kete ke plapaka ya la kata liki salahanza lihanda ka prama lika papa ya le ka prama liki stole gere pli mekoson to ga promo kostole gere Liginege plamalaga promoko son to braga balike promoso to stulegere plepapalaga pra.
I need you to connect to the presence of God this morning. Connect to the presence of God this morning.
Ranlenge ligelaga tayalaga pramalaga tayege te gizan la kazale ke te blebe ke zule ke pramaka zala.
Lord, I want to draw from your wells this morning. I want to draw from your wells this morning. I want to draw from your wells this morning. I want to draw from your wells this morning. I want to draw from your wells of your word this morning. I want to draw from your wells of your word this morning. Let the creative power that rearranged the affairs of this earth, the word that you spoke forth and you say, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be, and it came to reality. Let there be, and it came to reality. Let that word, let the spoken word reshape my life. Let the spoken word redirect my life. Let the spoken word be evident over my life. Let the spoken word become evident. Let the power that energizes, that quickens the word. You say, your word is quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. I decree by the word of the Lord this morning that the word of the Lord will come mightily. Will come mightily. Will come mightily. Will come mightily. Everything that needs to be regenerated, anything that needs to be recreated, anything that needs to be restructured, anything that needs to be put in the right perspective, by the reason of the word of the Lord, I decree that they will come forth. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Now let's turn our Bibles with me to the scripture we read. That's a theme for this month. That's our theme for this month. How many of us? I'm reading this theme to us so that we get to the point where we memorize it. Amen. Amen. Can you hear me loud and clear? You see what I'm talking about, this sound? At the end of the day, it gets to peak. I bind and I come against every distracting power. Amen. Alright, like I said, we're looking at the scripture over and over again because I want it to be a reality in your life. This month has been tagged Divine Ownership of Wealth. Divine what? Ownership of Wealth. So we want to look at this divine ownership. And I, like many of you must have seen on Facebook, on social media, I have tagged today's topic, recreate your future. Tell somebody, say recreate your future. Recreate your future. What you intend for your future to look like, create it. It is time for you to create it. Now let's look at it. So the word of the Lord, caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites, and they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. They stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. If you read with me also Psalm 24, did you know that scripture by now? Verse 1. Let's go. What does it say? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. Belongs to him. Today, this morning, by the special grace of God, like I said, I want to speak on recreate your future. I want to speak on what? Recreate your future. I want to read from Psalm 119. Open your Bibles with me. Today, this morning, I will be opening the Bible more. And don't worry, I'm trying to help us. Uses. He says, I'm reading Psalm 119 from verse 58 to 59. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. Verse 59, what does it say? I thought on my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. Eternal Rock of Ages, the Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, help us this morning that your word will be active. Your word will be quick. Your word will break. Your word will be removed. Your word will restructure. Will put us in the right perspective. Will remold us and move us to the next level. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay. I want to go with the speed of time and cover the time that we have spent. Listen to this. That scripture we have just read is just the summary of everything that we have talked today as the recreate your future. If you look at it, you say, I thought on my ways and turned my feet to your testimony. It means that the person was saw himself. He weighed himself on the balance and saw that he was not on the right track. He re-examined himself. As I says, let he who thinks that he stand take heed lest he fall. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians, it says, examine, 2 Corinthians 13:5. He said, examine yourselves. So when you now examine yourself, what do you now do? You will take a U-turn where necessary. Now let me say this as we go on talking about this future we want to recreate. He says, there's no simple key or formula to the future we desire. You know, they will say, one key, five key, 10 key, do this, you get that. I'm telling you of the sincere truth this morning. There are 1,001 key, but there is no one key. There is no one single fast rule to getting the future we desire. There is no one simple formula. Oh, you just turn here and that is the way. There is no one, nothing like that. There is no shortcut to becoming significant in life. There is no shortcut. All those people playing Naira bet, that one bet, this one that, playing pool, playing that, I have discovered, I have tried them before, meaning I'm talking to you, they will rather drain your resources, they will cause you to waste. I have seen people who were driving transport, the little change they get from it, they go and play Baba Jebu, trying to, what are they trying to do? They are trying to buy the future, and they want to get their desired future through all those things. Excuse me, those things don't work. I'm telling you from clear experience, they don't work. There is no shortcut. That's a shortcut. You're looking for a shortcut. Going around trying to gamble, throwing dice, 1 million, we use our house, paper of our house to play. Oh, if he wins, we get this, we get that. Hello? That's the quickest way to remain in poverty. That's the shortest cut to remain and resign your life to poverty. So there's no shortcut to being significant, to having value, to paying the price for tomorrow. There is no shortcut for that. There is a price to pay as we journey and travel along to that height where we deserve. For instance, let me paint it with a picture. Like the Holy Spirit is helping me this morning now. If you are to climb this staircase and you just stand at the
at the ground floor and you said, let me just come into this church like that. Is there a shortcut? What do you have to do? You have to take the first step, second step, like that. Even if you try to shunt the step, God help you if you don't fall down. God help you if you don't what? If you don't fall down. And if you fall down, what happens? You have to go back and start all over again. That is to say, there is a price to pay. No shortcuts. No shortcut to success. No shortcut to significance in life. No shortcut to the future. It is how you spend your today that determines your tomorrow. Is somebody hearing me this morning? It is how you decide, the decisions you make, the choices you make that helps in spending today that decide how your future will look like tomorrow. How your tomorrow will look like is just dependence on the price you pay today for the future. Just tell you that this sermon came a reality to even me that is speaking it. Yesterday, I was having less than 200 naira to go out. So what did I do? I told myself, okay, this 200 naira at least is to take me to where I'm going and bring me back home. If provided I don't buy anything or I don't say anything, I don't give anything out to anyone. So I entered the bus. I was now left with 100 naira. Immediately I just told myself, oh, don't worry, you'll go and take money from the ATM. So that was, you remember that I had only just 100 naira. So what did I do next? I bought, because I was feeling hungry, I bought cookies. And I bought bottled water. So at the end of the day, I spent the 100 naira. Hoping that I will get to an ATM and I will be able to get money. Do I tell you the lesson I learned? I walked home. Because by the time I got to the ATM, what happened? The ATM was not dispensing. So, and before I will get another ATM, I will be close to the way home. So I said, because I did not hold that thirst, that hunger for that minute, I would not have died. It was not a matter of life and death. That biscuit was not necessary. The time I wasted walking down, feeling tired, I would have gained it if I had spent just 5 minutes and quickly entered bus and I would have gotten home. So even by the end of the day, the little energy that cookies and the bottle of water gave me, I expended it walking. There's no shortcut. I'm learning it the hard way too. That's what I'm sharing with you. I want to eat everything and enjoy everything today. Hey, children, listen to me. Not everything that comes to your hand must finish that day. I usually say it, and even the scripture says it. He said, it is God who giveth bread to who? To the eater. And seed to the what? To the sower. What the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to understand is that anytime God releases something to your hand, inside that thing he has released into your hand, you have bread and you have seed inside it. That is why any fruit you pick, don't that fruit have a seed? Tell me. A mango has a seed. An orange has a seed. You have the parts that you should eat. You have the part that you should plant in the soil to bring another set of mango, to bring the next generation of what you should feed on. But how many of us plant our seed after eating our fruit? How many of us? The Lord will help us this morning in Jesus' name. So like I said, there's a price to pay. Maybe a little hunger, a little fasting there. A little not taking of water there. A little of saving. Saving is very painful. Very, very painful. But very, very rewarding too. Very, very rewarding too. Very, very, I can tell you, it is very, very rewarding to save. So I have discovered that education and qualification does not make you rich. Rather, it's just a door. So the fact that I'm going to school, I went to school, I went to the highest level of school, is just a door. It does not say automatically you become rich. Go and ask the professors. Many of them still borrow from their drivers. By the time it is just half of, by the, they just collected salary 1 week, and 1 week later, they are already borrowing from their peers. Yeah, sorry, I mean 1,000 men. So, show the Fumilo Richard card. Mason will later. And they are professors. That's the highest level of academics. I have seen people. Professor Yomi Oshibajo, who is the vice president of Nigeria today, before he became so wealthy that God blessed him, he told us he was a professor at the age of 27. And at professor at the age of 27, at 29, that was where he bought his first car. A professor at 27 bought his first car at 29. Look kind of car did he buy. It was a fourth-hand Nigerian used car. He was the fourth person Nigerian using that car. The car will break down. They will push. They will. And it was a, as at that time, it was already a professor. Not just an ordinary professor. Professor of law. He's a professor of law. So that's to tell you that qualification is not it. Going to school is not it. It's just a door. It's just the access route. I am not saying don't go to school. That's all I'm saying this morning. Because if you go to school, it's a better place to stand. To be able to understand where to go. It's like it's a shoulder for you to be able to climb and be able to see above those who did not go. For the past 5 days, I've been going back and forth to the mechanic workshop. I've been visiting them. And there's this slogan among them. They don't have pension. I was wondering, what do they mean by that? So I harassed one who is very funny, very funny among them. Why are you always saying that? Ishe mechanic. He used to say, Ishe mechanic only pension. So they go away and sing. What are they saying? They are saying that the mechanic work they are doing, the mechanical engineering work they are doing, does not have pension in it. So if you want to make the money you want to make, make it now. Because by the time you grow old, this work cannot continue. If anything happens to you, that was the man explaining it. Say if anything happens to you, if you fall sick, you will know that there is nothing, nobody, you don't have anyone except God. So it's not about your craftiness. It's not about your skillfulness. But this morning I will share with you how you can move from one level to another. There are different levels. I'll be discussing that. So it's not your job. Neither does your job, mortgage, material things, is enough to predict how your tomorrow will be. Look at us today. We usually used to drive car down here. But today, what did we do? We came in public transport. If at our last week, when we were living here, can I predict that as of today, I won't be here with the car? Or even last week, can I predict that we will enter transport, public transport to go home last week? Because it started from last week. We drove here and we left two people here. Only for us to stop on the halfway on the way. We have not even halfway. Is that halfway? Shima, we have not even come out of Asheshe. And the car broke down. And we were there until 7. We didn't get home until 9 o'clock. I'm not saying this. I'm just saying this for you to get understanding that we don't, you cannot, not, none of these things can tell you that tomorrow will be all right. None of them. No material thing on this earth. If they like, let them credit your account with 100 million. Listen, if they credit some of us with 100 million, I give you 30 days. If you don't use the money judiciously, you will still come back to request for money. 10 years from now, they will ask you. It will be once upon a time. Some I had 100 million in my account. It will be once upon a time. If you don't use it judiciously. It will be once upon a time I had this. May the Lord deliver us and help us move in the rightful speed. One thing I have also discovered is that most jobs are destiny diverters. So be careful. Don't let that job divert your destiny. Find purpose. The best way to create your future is to find purpose. Find what you were created for. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. God was speaking to Jeremiah. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I know you. I formed you. I created you for a purpose. I called you. I ordained you for this very purpose. So that means that before any of us that is hearing me right now, you were formed for a purpose. The best way to recreate your future is to find your purpose. Go solemnly to God and pray that prayer. Lord, why did you create me? Help me know why you created me. It's a big prayer. So that, because if you start praying them early enough, like children, for us that are very young right now, if you start praying that prayer early enough, you'll be able to choose the kind of career that will be able to bring back to reality your purpose. I love teaching. I love doing the telling people, taking people out of the form of every ignorance. But the point is, I didn't still feel satisfied until I started praying that prayer. Lord, what is my purpose? What was the thing you ordained for me? And I cannot forget, in 2013, it became a reality. And since then, I took the step. And today, you are hearing my voice. Because if you start early now, you see, even as we journey along, listen, let me say this to you. As you journey along, when it comes to purpose, as you journey along on this road, the direction of where you are going to will become clearer. Will become what? Clearer. Will become clearer. As we journey in life, we need to practice the habits of self-examination. Like that scripture says, I thought on my ways. We need to regularly think about ourselves. Where am I now? What is my current status? Examine yourselves. Regularly step on the scale, asking yourself objective questions. Ask yourself objective questions. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves. Lamentation 3:40 also says that we should ask ourselves questions. Ask yourselves meaningful questions. Am I at the position where God wants me to be part time? Right here that I find myself now, am I there? Am I at the rightful place? Am I in the wrong direction? Am I in the wrong location? Am I in the wrong association? You need to ask yourself those questions. When we now ask ourselves this question and we get objective answers, it should not condemn us and we feel bad. I am not where God wants me to be. I'm supposed to be in SS2, but I am still in GSS2. And I begin to feel bad and cry. No. Don't go and live your life self-pity. Don't live in self-pity or condemnation of your state. Hey, I'm supposed to be praying in 10 hours, but I'm still praying 30 minutes. And I begin to feel condemned. Hey, maybe that is why all these things are happening to me. Maybe that is why my car broke down. Maybe that is why the door was locked. Maybe that is why I begin to think of so many things. That's why maybe when I was coming and the car had accident. Maybe that is why. Excuse me. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So don't live in that condemnation. Now, one of the things that examining your life does for you is to order your life, to put your life in the right order. Like I gave the analogy of climbing the staircase the other time. If you skip any staircase, any step, and you don't stand properly, if you fall, what happens? You will start all over again. So the best place is to take one step at a time. Arrange it in order. That's why God so created us in such a way that when we are to walk, we don't move the two legs at the same time. We're not birds that fly. But when you want to fly, you flap one wing and flap the other at the same time to fly. That's the way birds fly. But when you are walking, one leg goes forward, the next one joins it, right? Is that not the way to walk? Is that not the way we walk? That's order. Our God is a God of order. No wonder if you order anything, you just put in order. Just put that thing in order. Like you see us in the church trying to put everything. We have what we call the order of service. If we don't put an order to this service, what happens? Everything will be chaotic. And because we have an order of service, Like they say, order is the mother of increase. Do you want to increase in life? Just put your life in order. You want to increase? What aspect of your life do you want to increase? Put that aspect in order. Oh, you want to increase in your skills, what you can do? Just put yourself in order. Oh, what next should I learn? If I learn this now, okay, it will help me get this. It will help me get that. If a child is born and is going to start school, do you start from university? The other is that what? Nursery and primary school. And from nursery and primary school, what do you move? You move to secondary school. From secondary school, where do you move to? You move to university. That's the order. You don't skip. So if you put order to it, you will increase in whatever you do. Your finances, that you don't understand, you don't have. You keep saying it's decreasing. Just put it in order. Take a pen and paper. Write how much comes in. Write how much goes out. You will see. But then you see, try to reduce how you spend. Reduce the percentage of what you spend. Increase the percentage of what you save and what you invest in. And before you know it, you will see that you will increase in your finances. Amen. So I want to look at this from our father Abraham. There are three levels I discovered from our father Abraham, because that's our study. Abraham is our study for this month. He's our father that gave us divine wealth, that activated the covenant for divine wealth to us. So I'm looking at Abraham. There are three levels Abraham was at every point in time. He was either at one level or the other. There are three levels you can be as a Christian. No matter the level of life you are, there are three levels you always be. Out of these three levels, you are at one level or the other. Maybe as I begin to talk about the levels now, you understand what I'm talking about. There are either three levels. Level number one is the level I call. Why am I going over this before I go over that? Regardless of a level, you can reinvent and recreate and restructure your life. You can put your life in the right perspective. You can realign yourself to the vision and make adjustment, make amends, restructure, realign things in your life to be able to be in that rightful place, because the greatest place where God wants you to be is at the mountaintop. Not at the bottom, not in the valley. It's on the mountaintop. No wonder the Bible says, upon Mount Zion there shall be what? There shall be deliverance and holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possess. If you don't climb the mountain, you don't get what you really deserve. You don't get what you desire. So come with me. Number one is, you find that in Genesis 11. I want us to see it from the scripture. Genesis 11 from verse 24. Are you there? Is somebody there with me this morning? Genesis 11, 24. What does it say? Nabal lived 29 years and begot Haran. What happened? After he begot Haran, Nabal lived 119 years and begot sons and daughters. Is that all that is to life? To just live and give birth to sons and give birth to daughters. Let's go on. 26. Are you there? Let's go. 26. Now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nabal, and Haran. You see, this is the first time they are mentioning all the children in full, because this Terah seems to be different. The person who gave birth to Terah, who is what? Nabal. The Bible just said he lived for how many years altogether? 119 years, and begot what? Sons and daughter. The only person that was mentioned was his firstborn, which is what? Terah. But look at Terah now. They say Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Go to verse 27. Are you there? Now look at it. This is the genealogy of Terah. So this Terah must be a different person. It was a different person. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. Quickly, they went there. Go on. Haran died.
before his father Terah in his native land in Hur of Chaldeans. Now look at this person, one of the children. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was, you see, others, nobody mentioned their wives. But now, at this point, because they are trying, they were struggling, they were trying to get to the stage of that level, which we call the survival level. Level number one is what? Survival level. Everybody wants to survive. Everybody just wants to drink, eat, sleep, have where to sleep, not sleeping under the bridge. Oh, I can pay my rent. Even if I have to pay 2, 3, 4 times before I complete it. That's the survival level. I eat what is available, not what I want. That's survival level. He took wife, and name Abraham's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nabal's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. Look at it. I want us to go on. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them for Hur of Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now you see there from that scripture, like I was saying, you see there from that scripture that, what did you notice? That they were trying to survive. That's the survival level. Average lifestyle. Struggling to pay school fees. Everyone starts at this level. Everybody starts at this level. Everybody starts at, no matter who you are, everyone starts at this level. Even me that is talking to you, at one point in time, I am at that level or the other. But now, how do we move from survival level to the next level, which is number two, which is the level called success. The level called what? Success. If you go to Genesis 12 verse 1, where God called Abram, look at it. And the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. God was saying to Abraham, move from this survival level. I need you to move to the next level, the level of success. And look at it in verse 2. What did he say to him in verse 2? I will make you great. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse who curse you, and you and all your families of the earth, and you to you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Survival level. But by then we got to Genesis, between Genesis 11 and Genesis 13 verse 1. If you're there, quickly go to Genesis 13 verse 1 with me. Genesis chapter 13 verse 1. You will see that Abraham had moved from survival level to the point of success. Then Abraham went from Egypt and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him to the south. How do I know that the south is a place that is blessed? You will see that if you read that scripture from Genesis 13 to 15, you will see that it got to the point that Abraham was now being blessed by people. They were giving him stuff. Let me explain. If you read that story, many of you have read that story. He got to that town and they said, he told his wife before he entered the town, look, you're looking very beautiful. Tell them I'm your brother, oh, so that they don't kill me because of you and collect you from me. So they said that to them. So those ones saw her, was very beautiful, and they said, oh, we are going to marry your sister. I said, ah, bye-bye, take care. And interestingly, he was the one who collected the whole dowry. Look at it. Collected everything concerning the sister. God was trying to bless him in disguise. God was trying to to give him the blessing as a result of his obedience to move. So by the time those ones discovered, God quickly did something strange in that town. Nobody was able to deliver a child. Those who were pregnant, they were just laboring and laboring and laboring. Nobody could get pregnant in the whole of the town. So the men quickly went to God to ask, God, hey, what is happening here? People are struggling to do it. He said, you have collected somebody's wife. And the man said, I didn't know it is his wife. When the man was going to say sorry, to return Sarah, he put another gift again. He gave gold. He gave silver. If you read it at the end of the scripture of that Genesis 13, you will realize what I'm talking about.
And he gave it to Abraham. So Abraham moved from the point of just trying to eat, where he was making tents up and down, just ordinary tents. And he began to have portions of land. He started owning land. By Genesis 15, he already was blessed. God was coming to him over and over again to tell him, I will bless you. I have said, I will bless you myself. But yet, success is the level of being comfortable. It was just comfortable. Listen, let me tell you something. From my experience, I realized that success is not the last bus stop. Many of us are struggling. I want to be successful. I want to be successful. Listen, I'm ready to shock you. Success is not the last bus stop. I've discovered it. Success is not the last bus stop. And success can be very deceptive. Very, very deceptive. Immediately you have money that you can buy what you want. Immediately you have money that you can eat. Immediately you have money that you can, somebody can say, oh, borrow me 10 naira. You can borrow the person 10 naira. And not even bother to, don't worry, just take it, be going. Don't worry, don't need to return the money. Immediately you get to that point, we tend to relax and say, yes, I have arrived. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. Hello, listen to me. That is not the last bus stop. I see many people who are so successful, but yet they are not satisfied. You won't feel that there's this feeling, because you have not got to the ultimate of who God intended for you to be, you will not be satisfied. That's the point that some of those people who wrote books got to, and they said that woman's wants are insatiable. That no human being can be satisfied on this earth. Listen, you have not gotten to the peak of what God intended you to be. If you get to that peak, you will know that God is the only one who can satisfy you. So what am I saying this morning? The next level is the level of success. But that is not the last bus stop. It may look that you are satisfied there, but that is not the end and everything that it needs to be. Oh, just to give birth to children. Send the children to school. The children give birth to the next children, and that's all. Is that all that is to life? The answer is no. The next level is the level of significance. How many of us here, if they take an envelope and they write your name at the back of the envelope without putting an address, the envelope will get to you? How many of you? Raise your hand. If they write an envelope on a blank envelope, just your name, they write your name in full on the back of the envelope and they post it at the post office, the envelope will get to you. How many of you? But I can tell you two people for free. If they write their names on the back of that envelope will get to them. Just write at the back of the envelope, Pastor Enoch Adejari Adeboye. Put it in the post office. They know where to take it to. Just put in the envelope, Reverend Sam Adeyemi. And put it in the post office. They know where the envelope will go. They know who is that name. Even if somebody is also bearing that name, the only person that people know of that bears that name, they know who he is. They know where he lives. They know his address. Even if you are bearing the whole full name of Pastor E. Adeboye, complete. The only person it will get to is who? E. Adeboye. So those people, under God, they've gotten to the point where we call the point of significance. They become significant.
They don't struggle. They no more pay rent. They are not, people are not paying rent to them. They are no more trying to pay school fees. They are not paying school fees of other people. They are giving scholarships to people. They no more work for anyone. People are now working for them. Money is now working for them. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? It is time that you recreate your future and begin to walk towards that dimension. Moving from your survival level of trying to think of 5 naira, 200 naira that you will cook to cook that soup that will be so sweet. It's so sweet to you, but there is nothing inside the soup. Nothing. Say you are managing. What are you managing? When some people can spend 5,000 naira on the just to entertain a guest, they spend 5,000 naira. What did I even say 5,000? Some people spend 50,000 naira to entertain guests. But now they will say it's a waste of money, right? It's because you are not at that level. If you are at that level, you will do more than that. I shared there once upon a time that I was so broke, and I went into the shop of a friend, and I saw another young graduate wanted to buy a ring. And he was wanted to buy the ring for almost 15,000 naira. And I was asking myself, excuse me, you want to waste 15,000 naira on a ring? And me, all I needed to collect from that person that was selling, because he was the owner of the boutique, I was billing him 3,000 naira, 2,000 naira. That was what I was billing him. And I was thinking he was paying too much for project analysis. I think he was paying too much. Until I met somebody who called me from Ghana and said, please, I want you to analyze this project for me and send it to me and all that, and went back and forth and all that. And when I was going to price him, I started from 20,000. The person said, are you sure you will do this thing? My sister quickly called me and said, hey, how did you go and say 20,000? What kind of, you just shortchange yourself. The person who was going to do this job wanted to collect 150,000. I told him that you can do it and you will collect 100,000. I said, 20,000 to 100,000 naira. My perspective changed. I said, what? Something I used to do for 3,000, 2,000 naira.
Survival level.
I didn't know there's another realm called success. Companies do this and they build nations, states, governments, millions of dollars. That's all they do. The same thing they do. The same app I use. The same software I use is analyzing all this data. That's the same thing they will use. And they collect billions of naira. Recently, a friend sent me a request from Ogun State Government, Educational Department. They wanted to analyze the impact of COVID-19 and all that. And he went back and forth and was like, can I do it? Can I this? Can I do? I can resign my job and come and do this work for him. I looked at him. I said, survivor. I'm struggling with my success. I'm in success. At least this thing I'm doing, I'm still comfortable with it. Let me not make that move. Hey, I don't have faith to move that much. I thought about so many things. School fees. Hey, if they don't pay, if they don't finish the project before time, if we don't do this, I kept thinking of so many things that hold us back. We're going to look at it right now. I'm going to talk about it right now. I'll be sharing with my experience. I'll be using Abraham to our father. He too was like us too. God came to him and was saying he should move. And without telling him where he was going to, he moved. That's a big risk. Very big risk. God will tell you to move and you move. The Lord will help us. Amen. Significant level, the level at which you fulfill the purpose at which God created you. Our father Abraham got to this point. If you read in Genesis 18, Genesis 20, Genesis 24, can you read with me Genesis 24 verse 1? I'd like you to read that passage. You get what I'm talking about. He became so successful. Now Abraham was old and well advanced in age. Like, look at that verse, that second part of it. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in what? No. I didn't see that very well. Did you see that thing you're seeing? Did you see that what I'm seeing? In all things. So that means that after that time, if you write on an envelope, Abraham, the son of Terah, the Syrian, who the Lord called from the land of the Ur and Chaldeans. If you write it on the envelope, it will get to him. Because the only person they know that is Abraham was that man. Because God had blessed Abraham in all things. All. Not half. All of it. In all things. Abraham had moved from the level of survivor where he was living in tents. He came to the level of success where he now possessed land. He bought the first piece of land with his money. And God was promising. He said, this land you are standing on, I will give it to you and to your children's children. I shared it last week. I said one of the ways to be able to get the peace of this earth, one of the ways to be able to be successful, to get wealth, is to get a piece of this earth. I told us, I challenged us, I said, look, either it is convenient or not convenient. If it is pieces, they call it. If it is half plots, they call it. If it is quarter plots, they call it. If it is quarter piece, they call it. I don't want to know how pieces it is. Let it be written in your name that you are the owner of it. You are moving gradually to the point of wealth. You are moving. So make it a duty, make it a goal for you this year. Own a piece of the earth. I shared that last week. But this is our father Abraham. So let's begin to move at a very good speed, because I want to end the service in a very good time. To make the move from this level is not too hard, but we must be willing to make apt decisions and choices in all aspects of our lives. What kind of decisions? Just two decisions. Number one decision, we need to cut off some things from our lives. Some habits, some attitudes, some characters, some persons. We need to cut them off our lives. We need to cut them off from our lives. We need to eliminate some of those things. Just like in our healthy living principles. Eliminate. The Kenu concept. He says what? Eliminate. That we promote diseases. Those things that promote diseases, eliminate them. Those things that promote poverty, eliminate them. Uproot them. He said, the axe is laid to every tree, and every tree that the Father has not planted shall be rooted out. He said, every tree that refuses to bring forth good fruit is cut down and set on fire and thrown into fire. So you need to cut off. You need to uproot. You need to root them out. Those habits, those things, those attitudes, those characters that will take you nowhere. Those persons that is taking you nowhere. Number two thing you need to do is you need to cut back. You need to withdraw. You need to reduce those things, those resources, those habits, those attitudes, those persons. You need to change, make a change of it. You need to reduce your time spent. Because one of the greatest resources you have is time. The time you spend pressing phone, reduce it. We're going to need very much. It is a good thing to press phone. But there are better things to do than pressing phone. We'll look at it in the next few minutes. So as I speak on these things, you need to cut back and you need to reduce, or you need to cut off totally. It's either you cut off totally or you cut back on these things. Then you will see yourself moving forward. I am sharing these things because I have practiced them, and I am seeing myself move from the level of survivor and moving towards the level of success. And right now, I'm telling myself, I said, now that you have gotten to the point of success, you need to do more. You need to pay more of the price and begin to cut back and cut off and begin to move to the point of significance. So what do I say? I say, I am trained, I am called to violently influence and radicalize you through the scriptures. So if you are hearing Dr. Virus, that's the true meaning. That's the true meaning. That's why anything I say, I put the scriptures. I'm joking, it's the scriptures. I'm cautious of what I say. Because I'm trying to move from the level of success to the level of significance. Where if you write on the envelope and just write Dr. Virus, and you drop the envelope in an in any post office,
you should be able to get to me. I know God will help me to reach there.
I thought somebody would pray that prayer for himself. I said, I know God will help me to reach the survival, the significant level. Amen. All right, there are six things that we need to do as we move. As we move. It has become a slogan now. We move. Let's make the move from what? Survival to success. Even as a nation, if we must move from survival, just surviving, if we must move to success and moving toward being significant among the leagues of nations in the world, we need to carry out these six things. Is somebody listening to me this morning? Number one, like the scripture says, say, I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your promise. I considered my ways. I turned. So you need to make a U-turn by feet to obey your testimonies. I just write the amplified version of that scripture.
I turned my ways. The amplified version of that scripture was what I just read to you. That's Psalm 119 verse 58. Psalm 119 verse 58.
Amen. So let's look. Our father Abraham did these things consistently to be able to move from one level to another in the ladder of his life. Number one, what was the thing he did? What was the thing he did that helped him move from the level of survival to success and then moving him towards significance? Number one, the things and people that have served their purpose in our lives. Things and people that have served their purpose in our lives. Things, people, persons that have served their purpose in our lives. I'm trying to remember a very good analogy. Yes, I used to have a football, a plastic football, when I was very small. One way or the other, that plastic football got lost. And we took nylon bag and wrapped with sellotape to make balls. And we were playing one day, we're playing on the streets, and the car was coming. And unknowingly to the car, he smashed the nylon bag and destroyed it. So the man came down and saw that he had smashed our ball. And the man looked at it. Nylon bag, and they are playing football. So the man went away, and by the time he came back, he gave us a size 4 health ball, the hard leather ball, size 4. He bought that for us. So by the time he bought that and he gave us, and we're playing, all of us were playing that, I went back to pick my nylon ball to wrap it again. I didn't realize that the nylon ball has served its purpose. I was now trying to have the two. And you know the interesting things my friends did to me? They said, since I picked my nylon ball, there was no need for me collecting, because I was the owner of the ball. I was expecting that since they bought a new ball, the ball will definitely belong to me. But what did they say? You have picked your nylon ball, so pick your nylon ball. All of us, we own this one. I didn't cut off things that have served their purpose. I didn't cut back things that have served their purpose. Many of us still store some people's numbers. Old friends. Old boyfriends, old girlfriends. You store the numbers in your phone. For what? You don't want to cut off. You are married now. Or you still want to be flashing and going back. You know that you are creating an avenue for the devil to be able to use that against you. Many of us still keep our old friends that we had sin with. Old friends that are not in Christ with. Hoping that we will preach Christ to them. Hello? Look at our father Abraham. The maid servant of our father Abraham.
Agai, after she was used to bring forth Ishmael, right? Her purpose was done. That was what Sarah said she should use her for. Said, let's use this girl to answer God's prayer upon our life. Okay, take. Maybe it is through this girl God will use to have our children. And by the yardstick of having slaves then, any child giving birth by the slave, since provided the slave is eating and drinking and working for you, that child belongs to you. You the owner of the house. You the master. So what did he do? He sent them away. When she began to misbehave, Sarah sent the maid away. The maid was going to run away at some point. So Abraham had to cut off that connection, had to sever it, had to put it apart after some time. When he got to the next level, you need to cut off and you need to sever all those people who have served their purpose. In the beginning of the journey, he took Lot with him. Still talking about our father Abraham. He took Lot with him. But after some time, he realized that Lot was not going to help him to achieve the next thing. They were always quarreling and fighting and struggling for space. What did he do? He cut off and he reduced. He cut back. And they said, okay, you go this way, I go this way. Choose one path. And they decided to go their ways. They have served their purpose in your life. Many of us are still clinging to things that have served their purpose. Parents that have served their purpose. There is a place for everything. I am not saying neglect them. But there is what you need to do part time. Listen, I like the boy child so well. Let me use my son as an example. You see him as a baby who trying to cling to the mommy, trying to cling to the mommy. You think they will remain best friend for life. Wait. Let's just give him a few years from now. One beautiful damsel will show up now. Mommy will not be remembered. She will only be remembered that she is my mommy. She won't be remembered that she is what? She can't cuddle mommy like the way mommy intended that mommy would be cuddling when he was small. If mommy tries it, he will look at mommy with a stern face and say, excuse me. Do you know what you're talking about? I remember the other day my mom came to the house and my mom was trying to beat me in the presence of my children. And my children were like, excuse me, you're beating our daddy. What is the meaning of that? I had to tell them, look, that's my mommy. I know you call her grandma, but you don't know that is my own what? Mommy. Because they were like, they could not understand. How come? How will you beat our daddy? And funny enough, she wanted to beat me for them. That I did something to them and they were crying. And she was trying to take me. But immediately they were crying and they saw that, why will you beat him? What is the meaning of that? They could not just say it out, but they felt, this is not possible. How could you beat our giant daddy? That's the giant daddy in their face. Just with time, you discover that, look, it's not like that anymore. That's how God has wired our lives. So you need to, if the mother now decides to begin to say, hey, no, it's my son, oh, excuse me. You just cause trouble for yourself and cause trouble for the generation. Because the young girl can steal the boy and forever you won't even see him again. Like a friend was telling me, said she's opportunity to have a child very early in life and now the child is in the university level. He said before, his son will come. Every time it is his birthday, the son will come for the birthday all the way from school. But 2 years ago, the son does not show up for the two birthdays he has done now. The son said there was even the birthday that she bought and filled the freezer, hoping that the son was coming. And the son disappointed her. And she wanted to start crying before she wiped her tears and said, hey, he's a grown-up. He's not a baby anymore. So that's when he discovered that, this boy is already having friends. I need to befriend his friends so he can still love me. That's the wisdom behind it. Else, they will see you as a witch. Say that woman. She's a witch. She won't let her son be. That woman, she's a witch. She won't let her daughter be. She wants to still control her daughter. Amen. Let's learn to cut back things that have served their purpose in her life. Number two, things and people that refuse to change. You are not the Holy Spirit, so you can't change them. If you have given room for them to change, you have spoken to them about something to change, excuse me, cut them off or cut back from them. Those people who maybe you have the habit of drinking, You have the habit of telling lies. You have the habit of smoking. And you have made a change. And you want people around you are still into those dirty, detestable habits. What do you do? Cut off from them. Cut back from them. I used to have a friend back then when I was in school. I noticed something with him. Anytime we come together to see each other, we'll be discussing about girls. I was surprised. I was not comfortable because then I knew nothing about girls. So there was no, all I wanted to be discussing was my books because I was in the university. But anytime we come together, he's talking about one girl, one this, one rumor, one thing, one that, one. So to the point that he started telling me lies. I didn't even know that he was telling me lies. Things he didn't know about the girl, he would be telling me about that girl. Things that he had never said about, he would be telling me about that. And I was wondering. And I didn't know. So one day, I went somewhere and I was telling it to the other person that I, as if I knew the girl. And I was saying, it's a lie. That girl is not like that. It's not true. Is it because she's dressed flashy like that? I was saying, yeah, she's sleeping around with lecturers. She's doing this. That was not the truth. It was only because she was very fair in complexion. And she happens to be the girls from Lagos. So she speaks. She doesn't speak Yoruba. She speaks Mide. She's always this flashy type. And we were concluding that the reason why she was passing was because she was sleeping with lecturers. Until that person almost put me in trouble. Almost put me in trouble. So what did I do? Gradually. Anytime they say, your friend is around. Immediately I shake my head like this. They don't want to tell the person. You're the one, Leo. That's what my landlord will say. My landlady will say. So I don't think he's around. Gradually. And before long, what happened? God so made his own way, in his way. I went to rent my apartment very far from where he was. Not because of him, but God orchestrated it. There was a time I was also in a very close relationship with someone. I was finding it hard to pray. I could not go to fellowship. I was not going to fellowship because I was in friendship with this person. One day I stood in front and said, excuse me, you are the agent of the devil. I don't want you in my house again. I am finding it hard to pray. Anytime you come here, I find it hard to pray. Not knowing that she too was a Christian. And she too, her parents have been on her neck saying she needs to pray. She needs to do this. She needs to do that. So immediately I said that to her. She came to the consciousness and came back a few days later and was sobering and saying, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. From now henceforth, we will face our books and we will pray. We will face our book and we will pray. She was the one who taught me how to pray on the stick. Where nobody will disturb you. You just climb the almond tree. The tree you call fruit. Or cashew tree. Climb it up. Or mango tree. Climb it up. Nobody will know you are there. If you are hungry, cut mango and eat. Or cut fruit and eat. I enjoyed that time before she got admission to go to a university and she left the school. It was very interesting. So you need to cut back and cut off those things that refuse to change. If she had refused to change, that friend of mine today that I was talking about, that we always talk about women, today we are best of friends. And he has changed drastically. He usually used to, you don't even know which religion he's doing. Joining Easter, he will do Easter. Salah, he will go down to his parents because part of his parents are Muslim, part of it. But today, he is firebrand for Jesus. And the last time I visited him, I was just laughing. I said, do you remember when we attended every party and every event, we went to their village for almost every event. They are doing Ojudeoba, we are there. They are doing burial, we are there. They are doing wake-up, we are there. We are doing just because we didn't have bearing. I was just following. But thank God he changed. And I used to tell the wife, I said, thank God he changed. Because I know you, someone like you, will not have married because he married a staunched SU. She doesn't put anything to her hair. When I say staunch SU, she's a staunch SU. Thank God you changed. So anyone who refuses to change around you, there is no point arguing with them. Change, you don't change, change. Just sever the relationship. Because you know where you are going to. Make that move.
I remember walking in a place. I don't know why I'm sharing myself this morning, so you get what I'm talking about. I remember walking in a place and for a very long time, we kept trying to say, let's use laptop to type. Let's use a laptop to write our lesson notes. Let's use laptop to do this. Let's do that. Let's do that. People were thinking I was bringing too much. To the extent that it became argument between me and the management of the school. I just resigned and I walked away. Because after reading a book, I realized that what I was doing was legitimate. I was always trying to move the school, get the school ready to move to the next level, to get ready for the next positioning. Today, that school, the number of the children are dwindled badly. That they are struggling to pay salaries. Teachers are just resigning because they know that as this school is going, very soon they will find it hard to pay them. They had to leave. As I'm talking to you, there is no male staff in that school right now. No male staff.
The Lord will help us.
Number three, things and people that will give us trouble or problems in the future. Because you know where you are going to. You look at it. Those habits, those lying will give you problem in the future if you want to be a lawyer. Just telling lies alone will give you problem in the future. Is it not that boy? He will tell you a lie. And like the French adage, you say, if you tell a lie today, you are forever regarded as a liar. If you tell a lie today, you are forever regarded as... Even when you are telling the truth, they'll say you are lying. That's the French adage. Why? Because you told a lie yesterday. So why not eliminate, cut off, uproot those habits that wants to destroy your future? Taking too much of sugar, soft drinks. Cut off, cut back from it. Because you may not live up to 50 years. Why? Because you will fall sick. Sugar is the leading cause of all diseases. Many diseases in this world today, sugar is at the bedrock of it. Cut back from it. Health-wise, your finances, excessive spending, impulse spending, cut back from it. Save a little there. Invest a little there. The other day, I stumbled on shares that I bought for 1,000 naira. And I remember when last I saw the papers of the interest on the shares, I had gotten over my 1,000 naira. And I sat back then, 2004, I bought it for 1,000 naira. Just 1,000 naira. There was one I bought for 3,500 naira. Where did I get the 3,500 naira? You remember I mentioned I must have shared the story of my daddy coming to school and giving me 10,000 naira. I took 3,500 naira to buy shares then. Where my bank share? I can't forget. Recently, I saw this certificate and I told myself, I need to go and look for these shares. I know they must have gone up very much and I will have gained something better. Amen. Things that will give you trouble in the future, cut away, cut back from it. Listen, I told you about a friend. Today, she's based in Ibadan. She's married. We just say hi, hi. But both between me and her, we know that, look, we cannot continue talking and discussing like we used to do. It will cause trouble in the both of us marriages. Because the other person may not understand that, look, we're just friends. We may be giving room, giving place to the devil by trying to keep that kind of friendship. Amen. So let's cut back those things that will give us trouble in the future. Serving of idol. That was why Abraham left his father's house. Left. His father was not comfortable with the idol of his house. Amen. What are the things we need to cut back or cut off? The things and people that are good, but standing in the way of something better. Ishmael was good, but he was standing in the way of something better. When Isaac came, the real promised child. Lot was good, was a good companion. But by the time he became great and successful and was moving towards significance, Lot had to go his way. And Abraham had to go his way. The Lord help us this morning in Jesus' name. Number five, things and people that are holding us back, we need to cut them off and cut them back. I cut back. Many people, I didn't attend many people's wedding ceremony. My aunt got wedded. I didn't attend. I didn't go for all the old one bears I used to go for. All of a sudden, this December now, I'm showing up in some people's place and they're like, where have you been all this while? I said, well, I was going to school. You can't be going to school and be everywhere. I'm still going to school for the weekend. So most of the time, I can't be around for weekend programs because I'm in school. So you need to cut back. So when you can achieve that your goal, then you can now move on. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So cut back unbelief. Our father Abraham cut back unbelief. That was why he was able to move to Canaan. He cut back on unbelief. So cut back on unbelief. Number six, the things and people that God has not chosen. That's number six. That's the last one. We need to cut back from the things and people, places, characters, habits that God has not chosen. The things and people that God has not chosen. God did not choose Ishmael and Agai. No. It was Sarah and her imagination that chose it. So what did we do? Cut back. Cut off. God did not choose them. Yes, God blessed them. But they were not the promised child. So what did Abraham do? He had to cut them off. He had to cut back from them. So anything that God has not chosen for you, every way may look like a way, but if God has not chosen that way for you, cut back from it. Those things and people that God has not chosen for you. So that's why this morning, as we bow our heads and we begin to pray, I'd like you to entreat, check your heart, check yourself. Pray the prayer that the psalmist prays. It says, I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful and gracious to me according to your promises. I thought on my ways. Can you begin to consider your ways right now? Consider those places that you feel that you need to make a change, make amends. Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Help me cut back. Help me make a change of attitude, a change of habits. That talkativeness, that spirit of talking and talking jargons. That spirit of not considering others. That spirit of selfishness. That spirit of considering all I, myself, me and myself alone. That spirit of, let only me have all the benefits in this world. Let only me make profit in everything. Can you begin to pray and ask for mercy, the Lord? I entreat by your mercy. By your mercy. Help me cut back. Help me make a U-turn. Help me make a change of attitude. Help me make a change of character. Help me make a change in my life. Help me make a change. Lord, help me make a change. Help me make a change. Help me make that U-turn. Help me make that U-turn. Help me make that change. Jesus, help me make a change. By your mercy, make a change in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. And so, Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all honor. We thank you for your word that we have heard. We pray that this word will not stand against us in the gate of judgments in the name of Jesus. Rather, it will motivate us, it will energize us, it will make us make the right decisions and begin to make the right move and make the right choices so that we can move from survival level and begin to move to significance. And begin to move to significance. And not many days from now, our names will be heard on every part of the world in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you all the praise. You move mountains. Jesus, precious
name. This message is powered by the Shepherd's Flock International Church, Moway, Ogun State. Share your testimonies with us via the phone number 0803 0682. 1-800-634-464 or visit our website www.moway.tsfchurch.com. Remain thoroughly blessed by the Lord. Amen.